Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message, would you read it with me this morning? The Steps to a Meaningful Life. St. Paul wrote from a Roman prison cell shortly before he was beheaded these words to the church in the city of Philippi. Paul wrote, I pray with joy every time I remember you. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. It is my eager expectation that I will not be put to shame, but that with full courage, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by my life or by my death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I invite you to find the handout you've been given. Follow the sermon outline on that handout as we consider our theme, The Steps to a Meaningful Life. It was my first visit to a psychiatric hospital. It was my first visit to a rubber room, a room whose walls had been padded with rubber mats to protect the person in that room who could hurt themselves. I was making a call on a grandmother of a little boy who was a member of our congregation. This little boy had died, and grandmother was very, very mentally disturbed. She literally wasn't in her right mind. She was in this psychiatric hospital because the peculiar and false teaching church in which she was involved had told her that they could teach her the steps to a meaningful life. And if she prayed hard enough, and if she believed strongly enough, and if she did obediently the acts of obedience they prescribed for her well enough, if they took these steps to a meaningful life, her grandson would be healed. But he died. And now she was in grief and not in her right mind, because in this psychiatric hospital, she somehow figured out his death was her fault. She figured she didn't have enough faith. She didn't pray hard enough. She didn't do enough good deeds as taught by this false group. And she didn't know now if she could go on living. In our text from Philippians chapter 1, Paul is writing to the church in Philippi. Paul is writing from a prison cell, shackled to a prison cell, surrounded with iron bars, soon to be beheaded because of his fearless preaching of Jesus. If anybody had a right to feel depressed and dejected, it was Paul. If anyone could question the meaning of life and fairness of God, it was Paul. But how do we find Paul in this text? In his prison cell, he's not bitter. He's not unhappy. He says to the church in Philippi, I quote, I pray with joy every time I remember you. Paul is in prison, soon to be beheaded, and he's joyful. When I first read this, my first thought was this. Why is Paul so happy? How could he find meaning and purpose in life in the midst of such great pain and adversity? What gave Paul's life meaning? What were the steps to a meaningful life for Paul? Don't you wish some days you could face life the way that Paul did? Don't we all want to have a meaning and purpose and a hope in life that helps us get up in the morning to proclaim, good morning, Lord, rather than, good Lord, it's morning. Don't we all wish we could remain joyful and full of hope in the midst of tough times? Don't we all wish we could make sense out of our lives? And so, to do this, we pursue the steps we think will lead us to find meaning and hope in our life, we exercise more. We eat better. We strive to become better parents, better workers, better bosses. We try to have more faith. We strive to be more positive, more efficient, more organized. We strive to become better time managers, money managers, relationship managers. And then it happens. You're diagnosed with a serious illness. The company you work for is cutting back and you're laid off. Your marriage is struggling. A loved one dies and leaves you feeling so alone. And you're left wondering, what meaning is there to life? And you shout at God saying, why God and why me? I prayed so much. I had so much faith. I went to church so much. I was pursuing the steps that I thought would lead me to a meaningful life. But instead of experiencing joy like Paul in prison, perhaps you feel despair and uncertainty. You may be asking yourself, well, Pastor, what's so bad with trying to be the best that I can be? What's so wrong with following certain steps to have a more meaningful life? The problem is that so often this kind of thinking takes our reliance off of God and puts our reliance in our own sinful natures. The problem is that by doing this, we disobey the first commandment of God that says we are to fear and trust Him above everything else. The problem is that our own sinful nature feels it has to do something to make God somehow respond to us. The problem is we put more faith in how much we pray than in the one to whom our prayers are addressed. Our human nature tells us that if we want anything in this life, we have to go out and get it for ourselves. The old expression, there ain't no such thing as a free lunch. The problem is, this sinful nature tells us, don't you know? God helps those who first help themselves. But the problem is, it's the same human nature that turns us away from God, that leads us to despair in this life and hopelessness in the next. And then it seems around us life comes crashing down because we thought we could make sense of it all by taking the steps we thought would lead us to a meaningful life. And we forgot all along that it is God who is reaching down to us. Let me illustrate this point with a story from one of my former students at the seminary who's now a pastor and, by the way, a chaplain in the Canadian Forces. One day, this student decided he was going to go windsurfing at what he decided was the best windsurfing beach in the province. The wind was blowing at 40 kilometers an hour away from the shore. It was the perfect day for windsurfing, if you knew how to windsurf. Trouble was, he didn't. It was his first time, but he decided to try it anyway. But he soon learned he didn't know how to turn around. He could only go in the direction of the wind that was leading him down the river away from the shore. And soon he realized he was a kilometer from the shore. That's when it dawned on him he was in big trouble. The wind kept blowing. He kept going further out. Soon he would be where the big shipping lanes were and the big cargo-bearing ships were sailing. Soon he realized he was literally up a creek without a paddle. Now could you imagine if someone yelled at him, hey buddy, just have more faith and you'll be saved. Hey, buddy, just have confidence in yourself. Nothing to worry about. Rely on your own strength. Rely on your own personal power. Rely on your meaningful steps that you've learned in your life. None of these things could have possibly got him out of the mess he found himself in. And finally he shares, can you imagine, after 2 hours of being offshore, a river rescue boat came his way. And a big, burly, tattooed, muscle-bound guard pulled him into his boat and literally saved his life. What's the point? So it is with you and me. There was no way we could save ourselves from the trouble we had gotten into, from the sin and the rebellion and the offense we have committed against a holy God. We were destined for distraction and we could not save ourselves. But then, our lifeguard came. And Christ Jesus not only saved us, His death not only saved us, but He sacrificed His life to do it. You see, the steps to a meaningful life are not something that we do. The steps to a meaningful life do not depend on us trying harder. No, the steps to a meaningful life are the steps that Jesus' feet took Him to the cross. The steps to a meaningful life are the steps that Jesus took to be nailed on that cross, to pay for your sins and thank God to pay for mine. The steps to a meaningful life have already been taken so that we can have our sins forgiven. The steps to a meaningful life have already been taken that we might be given the gift of heaven. The steps to a meaningful life have already been taken that we can have peace with God even right now. Jesus' steps took Him to the cross, took Him to an empty tomb, took Him to the place where the angels cried, He is risen indeed. Jesus took the steps to a meaningful life so that you don't have to struggle figuring out how to take those steps for yourself. And that's what St. Paul is talking about in this text for today. Remember where these words found St. Paul? He's in a prison cell in Rome. Because Paul was a Roman citizen, he could not be put to death by crucifixion, but he was soon to be put to death by having his head severed from his body, only because of his preaching of Christ. And shortly before that happens, he writes this letter to the church of Philippi. I challenge you someday and go home and read the book of Philippians. The word joy or rejoice happens more times in the book of Philippians than any other book of the Bible. How can Paul talk about being joyful and rejoicing when he knows his fate that soon greets him? Paul gives us this answer because he knows the steps to a meaningful life and death have been taken by Jesus. Paul puts it this way. Remember his words? Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." For Paul, the most important thing was knowing that those prison stone walls and iron bars could not keep his Jesus out. Was knowing that Paul, because of the steps Jesus took, had peace with God from now and for life eternal. To Paul, everything else in life was but a breath. Relationships, money, success, health, everything. My friends can disappear in a moment, can't they? They certainly do. But the one thing with Paul we can be sure of is the peace with God we have and the salvation that's been won for us because Jesus took the meaningful steps to the cross for you and me. And now what? What is our response to this truly great news? Well, when that burly lifeguard saved my foolish student's life and hauled him on his rescue boat of BC province, the only thing my student could say to him was, "Thank you." And now we say thank you to God. And we say thank you by praying. And we say thank you by consistent worship attendance. And we say thank you by studying His Word in Bible class. And we say thank you by our tithes and our offerings at the time the collection is received. And we say thank you by our service of love to others in Jesus' name. And we say thank you by sharing the hope we have because Jesus has taken these steps for us and for all. Why do we do these things? Not to earn God's love, but to say thank you because of Jesus, that love is already ours. We strive to be the best people we can be, strengthened and encouraged by the gospel, the good news of God's love and our salvation, strengthened by the word proclaimed, the sacrament shared. Now let me ask you, in our lives, are we going to fall? Are we going to fail? You bet. As long as we live on this earth, we'll struggle with sin. But that finally doesn't matter because what Jesus Christ has done for us, because of the meaningful steps He has taken to the cross, we can say with Paul, "For me to live is Christ. And when I die, why, that's just gain." The steps to a meaningful life, the steps to our salvation and peace with God have already been taken by Jesus. It doesn't depend on us. My dear friends, whatever life throws your way, did you hear me? Whatever life throws your way, your Jesus will see you through it. He is our source of true strength and true peace. And now, may that peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus, who took the steps to a meaningful life for you. In the name of Jesus, amen.